Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to give you an update on a Q&A session that President Putin held recently in Moscow, where he was talking about everything apart from the specifics of the war. So we'll go through some of the details of what he actually talked about. And it's really interesting because he's essentially saying that the West is causing all of the problems in the world, and that he thinks that the next 10 years are going to be the biggest that the world has faced since the end of World War II. We'll talk about the recent infrastructure that Russia has targeted as part of its bombing campaign, and why that's important in terms of what's going on and the longevity of this war. I'll go through the implications of the recent martial law that President Putin declared in the occupied areas of Ukraine. We'll talk about the accusations that Russia have made with regards to Ukraine using dirty bombs. We'll go through exactly what a dirty bomb is. And then we'll talk about why Russia is now threatening to attack Western satellites that are orbiting in space, and what the potential implications are if they do that. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think the implications of what's going on with regards to the war and all of these different issues are for the global economy. But before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos. So if you don't have time to watch the entire thing, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and Amazon shopping links. And once again, I'd like to say thank you so much to everybody that has supported the channel. I really appreciate it. It really keeps me going. It shows that I'm on the right track, that people are enjoying the videos, and it really does help me to keep that motivation every single day.
During a 3.5-hour Q&A session Thursday, Russian President Vladimir Putin showed no regrets over his war in Ukraine, insisting that the special military operation was achieving its goals and the West's dominance over world affairs was coming to an end.
World domination is what the so-called West bet on in its game. But that game is, without doubt, a dangerous, bloody, and I would say filthy one. It's one that denies the sovereignty of countries and nations, their distinctiveness and uniqueness, disregarding the interests of other states.
Taking questions from audience members who lavished him with praise.
You have a lot of supporters and a lot of lovers for Russia and mainly for President Putin.
Putin hardly mentioned Ukraine, instead railing against the West. The Russian president appeared confident and relaxed, a marked contrast from stiff, formal, and uneasy public appearances early in the 8-month-old war that had drawn questions about his health. Putin said liberal Western leaders had undermined traditional values around the world and forecast an unpredictable and dangerous future.
Мы стоим на историческом рубеже.
We are standing at a historical frontier. Ahead is probably the most dangerous, unpredictable, and at the same time, important decade since the end of World War II.
So I wanted to show you that footage because I think there's some really interesting points to pick up on here. Firstly, President Putin believes that the special military operation is going to plan. Well, I'm not entirely sure what the plan was to start with, but I'm pretty convinced that it wasn't that after 7 or 8 months of this campaign that Russia would be under pressure. It would be retreating from the areas, it would be pulling back, and it would have to have called its first mobilization since World War II. I'm pretty sure that wasn't the plan. So it does seem a bit unusual to me that President Putin is so upbeat. But I guess from his perspective, he doesn't want to lose face. The last thing that he wants to be seen as doing is getting involved in a war that he's losing. So he's keeping the PR going. He's keeping the hype going that everything is on track. And this is exactly what he was hoping for at this point in the campaign. But I think realistically, it doesn't look like it's going to plan to me. But it's really interesting that he's then moved on very quickly to deflect all of the issues to the West. So he's talking about the West trying to dominate the rest of the world, and that the next 10 years are going to be the most challenging for the globe in terms of liberalization. Now, this is essentially turning everything on its head. The situation in Ukraine is that Russia invaded the country. It wasn't invited in. It wasn't asked to do that. It decided to send in troops and start a war. But rather than talking about that issue, President Putin appears to want to start a new Cold War. He's trying to get other nations to join Russia in some form of campaign against the West. And obviously, this is all bad news in terms of world peace and the global economy. And the other issue that I think is worth highlighting here is that President Putin looked pretty healthy in this video. So there's been a lot of reports in the press over the last 6 months about potential health concerns. Has he got cancer? Has he got all these other things? Well, I think you can see here that he looks fairly chipper. He's in good shape. And that overall is bad news for this conflict, because the longer that President Putin is in power, the longer that this war is likely to go on. As I mentioned a moment ago, he isn't the sort of guy who changes his mind. Once he's made a decision, he's going to stick with it. And that means that Russia is likely to continue with this campaign in Ukraine for a long period of time. I've mentioned it before on the channel, but in 2000, when Russia entered Chechnya, that conflict lasted for almost 9 years. Now, hopefully, this conflict won't last anywhere near as long as that. But the longer it goes on, the worse the situation is for the global economy. And that's really the reason that I wanted to talk about the military conflict in this video. Because until we get a resolution, until we get some form of peace settlement, there is going to be a lot of volatility. And we're likely to see pressure on inflation, pressure on prices, pressure on markets, and a downward turn in the global economy. Before we go on any further, I wanted to talk about today's sponsor, Atlas VPN, and to tell you about their amazing Black Friday deal. If you use the internet without any form of protection, you leave yourself exposed to tracking, hacking, and advertising. Using Atlas VPN protects you from all of these. Atlas VPN provides you with comprehensive security and is used by over 6 million people worldwide. So it's great news that you can stop tracking and hacking and data breaches. But Atlas VPN can also save you money and give you more opportunities in terms of entertainment, because it allows you to change your location, which gives you the opportunity to get better deals and to access content that may not be available in your region. Atlas VPN is available to use on unlimited devices for one subscription and is currently offering a fantastic Black Friday deal, where you get Atlas VPN Premium for just $1.70 per month plus 6 months extra with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Now, this is the best deal that Atlas VPN have offered this year. To steal this exclusive Joe Bloggs Black Friday deal, click on the description in the link below.
Putin on Thursday repeated Russia's latest allegation that Ukraine was planning to use a so-called dirty bomb to spread nuclear material, which the United States, Britain, and France have called transparently false.
Over the course of the last week or so, Russia has made repeated accusations that Ukraine is planning to use a dirty bomb against Russia. Now, as I'm sure you're aware if you follow the channel, one of my objectives is to break things down and to explain things in easy-to-understand language. And dirty bomb is a phrase that's thrown around a lot, and I wanted to go through exactly what a dirty bomb means. A dirty bomb is a bomb that contains radioactive material, such as uranium, which is scattered through the air when its conventional explosive detonates. It doesn't need to be the same highly refined radioactive material that's used in a nuclear bomb, but instead it could just use radioactive materials from hospitals, nuclear power stations, or research laboratories. This makes dirty bombs much cheaper and quicker to make than nuclear weapons, and they can also be carried in the back of a vehicle. But just because they're easy to make and transport doesn't mean that they are not completely deadly, because radioactive fallout can cause serious illness such as cancer, and a bomb would cause panic amongst targeted populations. If a dirty bomb was used and detonated, a wide area around the blast zone would have to be evacuated for decontamination or potentially abandoned completely. Just to give you some perspective on the potential impact of dirty bombs, the Federation of American Scientists has calculated that if a bomb containing 9 grams, so 0.3 ounces of cobalt-60 and 5 kilograms of TNT were to be exploded at the tip of Manhattan in New York, it would make the whole area of the city uninhabitable for decades. So a very small bomb would have a really big impact. As a result of this, dirty bombs are considered to be weapons of mass destruction. However, one of the reasons that they're referred to as dirty bombs is that they are very unreliable. Because in order for the radioactive material in the bomb to be scattered across its target zone, it has to be reduced to powder form. But if the particles are too fine or released by strong winds, they can scatter much further and cause much greater amounts of damage and harm. So basically, a dirty bomb is a very low-grade version of a nuclear bomb. It would have the same sort of long-term impact on the area where it detonates. Now, thankfully, dirty bombs have never been used anywhere in the world. They were attempted to be used by Chechnya back in the 1990s against Russia. And Chechenian rebels actually created one of these bombs and planted it in a park in the middle of Moscow. However, Russian security forces managed to find it and defuse it before it detonated. Now, it's really interesting that Russia is accusing Ukraine of planning to use a dirty bomb. Because over the course of the last couple of months, we've had repeated threats from President Putin that he would consider to use any means available to Russia. So the undercurrent of all of those discussions has been that Russia has access to nuclear weapons and therefore it won't be afraid to use it in order to defend Russian territory, which it now deems the four occupied areas to be. So all of the talk about nuclear weapons has been Russia using them. But Russia is now looking to turn that on its head and accuse Ukraine of planning some form of nuclear attack against Russia. Now, there's no official explanation as to why Russia is taking this approach, but there is speculation in the press that if some form of device was to be detonated and cause some sort of radioactive fallout, there would have to be a major investigation as to who was behind that bomb. Was it from Ukraine against Russia in the occupied areas? Or could it be a Russian device that's detonated in these areas, which Russia then claims was Ukrainian? But either way, the potential risk of the use of a dirty bomb is really bad news because this is essentially a nuclear weapon which would have long-lasting impacts on all of the areas around where it detonates. Over the last few weeks, Russia has changed the focus of its attack. Rather than fighting on the front line in the four occupied areas, it's been sending missiles all across Ukraine, and it's been specifically targeting infrastructure. So it's been trying to hit power stations and other essential supplies to cause as much chaos in Ukraine as possible. The capital city of Kyiv was one of the main targets, and it's now been reported that power in the city is down by around 30%, and that's resulted in planned blackouts for all of the citizens on a daily basis. Initially, the Ukrainian authorities announced that they would have to implement 4-hour blackout periods, but those periods have now had to be extended because they now have less power than they expected. And this situation is now affecting two of the other central regions in Ukraine and one of the northern areas. So these areas are a long way from the occupied fighting. Now, I think this is a really interesting development in the conflict itself, because up until this point, Russia has been claiming that the special military operation was a way of liberating all of the people in the occupied areas who believe that they are Russian. They want to be part of a bigger Russia. That's the claim from Moscow. However, by attacking all of these other cities in Ukraine, Russia is escalating this conflict into an outright war, because it's not claiming that the whole of Ukraine wants to be part of Russia. It's only these occupied zones, which in fact it's already annexed. They had the vote and they decided that these are now officially part of Russia, according to Moscow. But by sending missiles into the capital city of Kyiv and these other three key areas, it's now causing pain and problems for a lot of people in Ukraine who have no interest in this conflict. So I think it's difficult for Russia to keep claiming that all they're doing is liberating the people who should have been Russian when they're now starting to send bombs all across Ukraine. And once again, the implications of this for the global economy are bad news, because a further escalation in this conflict into an all-out war means that it's likely that this conflict will escalate and therefore it will go on for longer and will cause more disruption for the global economy. On the 19th of October, President Putin announced that he was declaring martial law in all four of the occupied areas of Ukraine, which are now officially part of Russia, according to Moscow. The law that was invoked dates back to 2002 and has never been used before, but can be implemented only if Russia faces aggression or the immediate threat of aggression. And although Russia does not fully control any of the four regions of Donetsk, Luhansk, Kherson and Zaporizhia, it's imposing martial law as if these were part of Russia. So what are the implications of this declaration for these four regions and the people who live there? Well, the first and most concerning implication is that martial law enables President Putin to mobilize troops in those areas. So that means that all of the people who live in these four occupied zones of Ukraine, all the Ukrainians who were there before this invasion started, are now at risk of being forced to join the Russian army. So in exactly the same way as we've seen in Russia, where the mobilization was called around a month ago for 300,000 additional troops, Russia now officially, under its own laws, has the right to conscript all of the people living in these zones and make them fight against Ukraine. And of course, with a mobilization call like this, Russia has the right to arrest people, force them to do this, or put them into jail. So this is obviously really bad news for all of the Ukrainian men who are living in these occupied areas. Now, up until now, we don't have any data on whether or not any Ukrainians have been mobilized and whether they've been forced to join the Ukrainian army. But it is now a distinct possibility that all of the people in these regions could be forced to fight against other Ukrainians. Another major implication is that Russia can now set curfews and prevent people from leaving their homes. So essentially, all of the people in these areas could be put onto house arrest. Now, this is a pretty unpleasant situation. It was already fairly unpleasant anyway if you've got Russian tanks and soldiers at the end of your garden. But if you're now being told that you have to stay indoors, and if you don't, then you could be arrested or worse, then that's making the situation even more unpleasant. So the most likely response to this sort of action will either be people will have to stay indoors, or there will be a mass exodus of the Ukrainians who are still in those occupied areas. And the third major implication of this martial law is Russia now has the right to forcibly relocate people. So they can actually put people onto buses and ship them out of those areas and send them wherever they like. Martial law allows for the temporary resettlement of residents to safe areas and the evacuation of objects of economic, social, and cultural significance. Vladimir Saldo, head of the Russian-installed administration in Kherson, which is under intense pressure from Ukrainian forces, recently announced that 50 to 60,000 people would be evacuated from the region. And a US envoy has recently accused Russia of forcibly deporting between 900,000 and 1.6 million Ukrainians during the course of the conflict.
A senior Russian foreign ministry official also warned this week that Western commercial satellites could become targets for Russia if they determine them to be involved in the war in Ukraine. The White House Thursday vowed any attack on U.S. infrastructure would be met with a response.
Now, really interesting developments in the conflict is that Russia is now potentially threatening to launch attacks against satellites that are orbiting the Earth. They claim that Western satellites are assisting Ukraine in their efforts against Russia, and therefore they are legitimate targets. Now, this is a really interesting development and brings everybody's favorite entrepreneur Elon Musk into the equation. Ukraine military relies heavily on Elon Musk's SpaceX for broadband internet beamed from its low Earth orbiting Starlink satellite network. US firms like Maxar are capturing images of the war from satellites in orbit, and tens of thousands of communication devices in Ukraine rely upon US satellite communication giants Iridium Satellite Network. A Russian senior foreign ministry official stated the quasi-civilian infrastructure may be a legitimate target for retaliatory strikes, and reiterated Moscow's position that Western civilian and commercial satellites helping Ukraine's war effort are an extremely dangerous trend. Under the laws of armed conflict, a Russian strike on a private US company's satellite could be seen as an act of war to which the US could respond. And White House spokesman John Kirby said that any attack on US infrastructure would be met with a response, but did not go into any details as to what that response would be. Last year, Russia demonstrated a direct ascent anti-satellite missile on one of its old satellites in orbit, blasting it to smithereens. Anti-satellite missiles have been widely condemned by the West and astronomers for creating hazardous orbital debris that endangers critical space infrastructure, from crewed space stations to GPS networks that millions of consumers and government platforms around the world rely upon. The only other countries to have conducted direct ascent anti-satellite missile tests are the USA, which last demonstrated its weapons in 2008, China, and India. SpaceX's Starlink network consists of around 3,000 satellites, and there are several dozen commercial US imagery satellites eyeing Russia and Ukraine. Now, I think this is a really interesting development because we're moving the conflict from the ground into outer space, And the targets that Russia are talking about are US-owned. So these are satellites that were built and operated by US companies. And if Russia does decide that the infrastructure needs to be destroyed because they're trying to take out Ukrainian intelligence, then that potentially then brings the USA directly into this conflict. If Russia does decide to destroy some of these satellites, it will be really interesting to see what the USA does in response. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to make this video because although I'm talking about the economic implications in all of my videos, what's going on with regards to the war is really important because the longer that that war goes on, the bigger the impact will be on the global economy. And what we're seeing from today's video is that President Putin is not showing any signs of wanting to back away from this conflict. In fact, it's the exact opposite. He's coming out, he's talking up what's going on. He's saying that everything's going to plan, it's all good. And he's now starting to blame the West for what's going on globally. So he's turning this from a conflict in Ukraine to some sort of global situation where he's trying to recreate the Cold War. And what we're seeing with regards to developments on the ground is that he's getting set for a very long conflict. So declaring martial law in all of the four occupied areas means that he's now got the opportunity to move people out of all of those zones. So he's removing people who are Ukrainians, who've lived there all of their lives. They're potentially now being relocated back to Russia. And at the same time that that's been happening, the offensives against the rest of Ukraine have started ramping up. So we're seeing missile attacks taking place on key infrastructure all across Ukraine. So this is really escalating into more of a Russia versus Ukraine war rather than the special military operation of liberating the people of these four areas back to the homeland of Russia. And the accusations that Ukraine is planning to use a dirty bomb is once again raising the nuclear threat. And I'm sure this is being done because Russia knows that it's got the biggest arsenal of nuclear weapons in the world. And it wants to keep reminding everybody of its nuclear strength. So this is a subliminal threat by Russia that nuclear weapons are always a possibility here. And the final issue that we talked about today of the potential for Russia to start attacking Western satellites really does open up the question as to whether or not the rest of the world will be drawn into this war at some point in the future. If Russia does overstep the mark at some point, whether that be a stray missile going into a NATO country or taking out one of these commercial satellites, that does then open up the potential for other countries to become involved in this conflict. And from what President Putin said at his 3.5-hour Q&A, it looks like that's what he would like to happen. He's talking about the West causing all of the problems, preventing freedom and liberation, and he's saying that the next 10 years are going to be the most critical since the end of World War II. Now, in terms of the impact of all of this on the global economy, as I've said a number of times during this video, this is all bad news. The longer that we have this war, the longer that we have the uncertainty, the longer that we have the volatility in the markets, the worse it's going to be. Because it's creating concerns, it's creating problems with regards to the global supply chain, it's creating inflation, and ultimately we won't be able to put all of this to bed until there is a peace settlement. So unfortunately, the overall summary from this video is that it doesn't look like Russia are going to pull out of Ukraine anytime soon. It doesn't look like the war is going to finish, and therefore the potential for a prolonged and major downturn in the global economy persists. So hopefully you found today's video useful, informative, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.